My guest today is Czech author Miloš Urban, who's written such books as The Seven Churches and Lord Mod. His works have been translated into a variety of languages aside from Czech, including English, Polish, Hungarian. He's also a prolific short story writer and has also worked as a translator of books into Czech by such authors as Julian Barnes, Graham Masterton, and Rose Tremaine. And he also works at the publishing house Argo. So thank you very much for joining us, Mr. Urban.
Hello.
My first question to you is, I noticed as I was reading some of your work, there's a sort of thematic umbrella that covers all your works. There's perhaps a tajemná kráska, a mysterious beauty, and sort of the gothic past, the mysterious darkness. What kind of particular themes would you yourself say that you are most interested in writing about?
Well, there's a variety of themes, but I did start somehow with the Gothic novel and with the inspiration it gave me, and I was always intrigued by how these old genres can transform themselves or can be transformed by the writer into modern prose. So I've been trying to do this kind of writing for a couple of years, and now I think that I moved on a little bit and I am exploring new territories.
And for example, in Lord Mod, your book was set in Prague in the 19th century in the Jewish ghetto. So yeah. What made you select this particular dark period?
Well, sometimes my reasons are sentimental. You cannot see the ghetto anymore. It does not exist. There was this large, great reconstruction of Prague about 120 years ago, and this unique part of the city just ceased to exist. Something new came after that, but I'm always very sad about the phenomenons that are not here anymore. So I just wanted and I needed to reconstruct this part of the city, the Jewish town, for me and for my readers.
And I understand you spent some of your life in the Czechoslovak embassy in London?
Oh yes, that was back in the 70s, but it was a great influence on my life. And I did learn some English then, and then I chose to study English language and English literature. So it was really something very important for me.
So how did you manage to be in the West during the time of the Iron Curtain?
Well, that was a coincidence, perhaps, for me as a child, because my mother got divorced and then she married a man called Antonín Urban. That's the name I carry, Urban, though he was not my father. And we traveled to London. That was in 1975. And then my and my brother's name changed. First, it was Svačina. That means something like a little snack. To Urban, that means in Latin some person who's about town or he's a person from the city, Urbanus. So this happened in the 70s, and I spent 4 years in England at the Czechoslovak embassy, and then I had to go home, and that was quite a cultural shock for me.
And then you ended up working as you started out your professional career as a journalist.
I did write some journalism, but I was never employed in any newspaper. I started to work as a publishing editor in 1992, a long way back, yeah.
So where did your interest in writing stories come from, and how did that begin? You presumably began by writing short stories.
Yes, but it was not good, this writing of mine. I was a teenager, and that was really bad stuff, juvenile stuff. Then I started to translate when I studied at the university, and after translating my fourth or fifth book, I found out that maybe I would prefer to write my own stuff. And I think that began with Julian Barnes's Flaubert's Perrault. I think that translation is quite okay. I even got a prize for it.
Yes, in 1996, Mladá fronta prize.
Yes, and then I said to myself, this literary topic is very fascinating for me, and I would love to find something similar in Czech history, Czech culture, and Czech literature. And so I found the great scam about the manuscripts that were not medieval at all, and so on and so on. And I thought a novel story about it.
Tell us about this story.
That was the poslední tečka za rukopisy, which means something like the last dot or the last say to the problem of those manuscripts,
right, I see, yes.
Zelenohorsky and Královedvorsky. And I thought a fictional story about all this history, about the problem of these manuscripts being real or being fake.
And you published that under a pseudonym, Josef Urban, is that correct?
Yeah, that was not a very good idea, because when there were reviews for my second novel, Sedmi Kosteli, the reviewers called me Josef Urban, though I did sign myself under my second novel, Sedmi Kosteli. So there was quite a confusion about that. And
you've used other pseudonyms as well.
Yes.
Your short novella, Michaela, was written under the pseudonym Max Unterwasser.
Yeah, Max Unterwasser is one of my heroes, in fact. So I did do that out of some family reasons back then. Well, there's no reason to do that anymore.
So you weren't sort of certain about your own name with these particular works?
Oh, it was quite scandalous and, you know, very sexually explicit and all that. And I just did not want to sign myself under it.
So is that a common theme in your works? The maiden, the fantasizing, the sexually explicit?
It was interesting for me at one time, because I always find this a challenge to write about sex in an interesting way, not to be banal about it. So I did quite enjoy writing this, but, not writing these things anymore.
And you've had a number of your books translated into several foreign languages, including English, Polish, Hungarian and Russian, I believe.
And Spanish.
And Spanish.
And Dutch, and, you know.
So what are the reactions you've gotten around the world to your works?
I think the best reactions were from the Spanish-speaking countries, because Sedmi Kosteli sold quite well. I can't say this about the English-speaking world. I did not, you know, succeed with my books in England.
And the places where you have found success, has anyone mentioned that they've gained, like, perhaps an insight into either your writer's soul or the Czech nation, that somehow a foreign reader might be given insights into the Czech people, the Czech experience?
I don't think so. I think I'm maybe too different from the Czech writing tradition. Maybe because I've got this other education, studying English literature, Norwegian, and so on, and pulp culture too. So I think I'm not, you know, very representative for Czech literature.
No. It's too dark, would you say? Or
yes, and I think that fiction is really important to me, that my stories don't have to be authentic. Nothing happened, really, that takes place in my novels. But in the Czech literary tradition, it is vice versa. For the critics and the readers too, maybe, it's always more important if the story really did take place somewhere. Sometime.
Could it not be said that your works are sort of the flip side of the classic Czech fairy tale? That they're sort of like dark fairy tales, noir fairy tales?
Maybe you can say that about some of my texts, but they're fairy tales for grown-ups, not for children.
So your latest novel was called Przyszła z morza, She Came from the Sea, which was published in early 2014, and it's you described as an intelligent noir. So tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, well, I call it the book to be very Englishy. That's my word, I think. And it takes place in England, and the hero is Czech, but all others are English or foreigners living in England. Partly it's from my experience during my studies at Oxford in the 90s, and partly it's my childhood in England. It takes place in Eastbourne. That's a seaside resort that almost everybody knows, but few people go there. And those magnificent white cliffs that are much more beautiful than the ones near Dover. And there's a murder mystery. And I wanted to write it as a sort of opposite to those modern thrillers where you've got liters of blood and many dead people and families killing each other and so on. So there's only one murder here and a plot about it.
Okay, and I have a question now from a friend of mine, because she's a big fan of your works. So I asked her, like, if there's anything she'd like to ask you. So the question is whether the novel Praga Piccola is really based on a diary or whether you made it up.
I made it up. So I did fool a lot of people, and a lot of readers wanted to see the diary and read it. And, well, it was a little joke of mine, but I wanted to look very authentic, because it's my view of the First Republic, as we say, Prvnia Republika.
Mm-hmm. It's based around like a family in the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Yes, it begins during the Austro-Hungarian Empire, and then it takes place in the 20s and the 30s, and it takes place in a car factory. Prague had its car factory that was called Praga and made some magnificent cars, though it does not anything of this does not exist anymore. And I got sentimental again, and I needed to write a novel about it.
And final question, what are you working on at the moment?
Well, it's a novel about experimental architecture. It's called Urbo Kune, which means a city that belongs to us all. It's about an optimistic view of the European Union. So maybe quite a challenge to write positively about these topics. But
Are you going against the grain there?
Yeah, I hope so. And I'm just about to finish it now, and I'm quite satisfied with it.
Okay, well, I'll ask you a quick follow-up question, a political one then. So that's quite popular here, and I suppose across the European Union, to sort of kick the European Union as an institution, whereas on the outside, say, a country like Ukraine is longing sort of to enter this promised land of the European Union. So you think people on the inside are being too critical?
Oh, yes, I side with the Poles. The Polish attitude is much better, and they really are there when things are getting sorted out about Europe. The Czechs aren't, because they are too negative about the European Union. But I am a Euro-federalist, and I hope we get to pay with Euro in a couple of years.
That's quite a minority view here in this country,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Miloš Urban, thank you very much for joining us.
Bye-bye.